Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 2, season 2, Gods Who Binge. I'm Marissa.
And I'm Molly.
And today we are following some more listener feedback. But prior to that, last time we recorded, you could sort of sense the impending doom in our voices, and we're here to say we're happy.
We're happy. We finally slept for the first time in 4 years.
I mean, yeah, it feels good. I'll be honest. Everything feels a little bit lighter. There's still a long road ahead. There's still a lot of work to be done. I still have some apprehension, but things are feeling slowly better. And like, I will say, like, the footage of everybody taking to the streets in like every city was pretty incredible.
I know. It made me, of course, I flew to Eugene Saturday, found out in the airport, and so was not in a city and couldn't celebrate. So I was a little bummed, but it was such a great vision of the country.
And at least you're like in a pretty liberal city now where like everybody's probably pretty happy.
I think so, yeah. I mean,
have you ever seen the movie The Wiz?
It's like a Wizard of Oz musical type thing, right?
Yeah, it's like a little gritty. It has like, I think it's pretty much all black actors.
Yes, I've seen it. / maybe my hometown theater did it. And so I've only seen that version. I honestly can't remember.
That checks out too. But so you probably won't remember this, but there's a scene at the end where like, because like the Wicked Witch of the West character in that movie is like a sweatshop owner. And at the very end, like, and all the sweatshop people look really sad and ugly. And then at the end, when she dies, everybody like sheds those clothes and they're these beautiful dancers with like beautiful outfits and like the light changes. And it's like this beautiful, joyous scene. And that's what I keep thinking of.
Totally. I'm hopeful I'm going to lose like 20 pounds. My skin's going to clear up.
Yeah, honestly, he's already cured my COVID. I already feel better.
Yeah, exactly. It was all a conspiracy. I'm healthier than I've ever been.
Interestingly, the left created it, and now it's over.
Also, okay, just one more election thing, because I honestly can't stop laughing about this. For anyone that has not been reading the tweets and memes about the Four Seasons landscaping company like debacle,
it's incredible.
You need to go down.
That happened.
You have to go down. I just would love to be the employee at this landscaping company that just went with it. They just like didn't ask questions like why a Trump campaign press conference would want to be hosting in like their literally their parking lot.
This is what the internet was made for, was like creating memes and jokes about this. Did you see that one? I think you might have even sent it to me. That was like from a comedian. And they were like, I could write jokes for 800 years straight and I would never come up with something this funny.
Yes, every time I think about it, I can't stop laughing. Apparently they have an Instagram and they're dropping merch tomorrow.
Oh my God. Look, if anyone should profit from the Trump campaign, it's like some random landscaping company in Delaware.
Yeah. And apparently it's like women owned, minority owned.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, I didn't come up with this slogan for their merch, but I was going through their comments because that's just like the type of person I am. And someone was like, if you make shirts that say lawn and order.
That's incredible.
I honestly might need one.
This was a stressful, tense, anxious week, but like the internet didn't let us down.
It didn't. The internet is always there for us, and that is the American way.
Well, now that we've alienated like our two non-liberal listeners,
I mean, I felt like we kept it pretty, that was like low heat.
Yeah, that was. And also, here's the one thing I will leave it with, is that look, maybe it's easy for us to say because our candidate won, and I can appreciate the way that people must be feeling because we felt that way 4 years ago, when we didn't, you know, vote for Trump and he won. And the one thing I will say is, like, I do think it's time for this country to start healing and repairing. I believe Biden's the one to do that. And I thought that his speech last night where he said, like, please don't gloat, like, now's the time to really repair and get along, I thought was, maybe it was just lip service, but it meant a lot to me.
No, I mean, I honestly think he is known within the Senate for actually reaching across the aisle and really doing the work.
Yeah.
And so I do think of any candidate that the Democrats could have put up, this probably is a person who is willing to make compromises to get things done across the aisle, which I don't think we saw from the last administration.
No. Yeah. And I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. I feel a lot different than I felt a week ago.
Same. We're whole new women now.
We are, and we're ready to jump back into the fun. So this week, as a reminder, you guys, we are not a spoiler-free zone. That said, this show I think would be sort of hard to spoil per se. But this was directly in response to listener feedback. Again, we're listening to you. So if you don't like our changes, blame yourselves.
Exactly. We can't blame ourselves for anything anymore. We did a survey and we're responding to it. So
exactly.
What else do you want from us?
What do you want? Come on. No, but this week we're going to chat in a little mini episode about House Hunters. So I'm going to guide us through.
Yeah. Marissa's our guide.
Thank you. I'll be the Sherpa, the TV Sherpa today. Okay, so obviously each episode follows a person, couple, or family who is a prospective home buyer, and the agent goes along with them, and they view three different houses, and ultimately they pick one. Now, what's interesting about this show is it aired its first episode on September 30th. Guess the year.
Okay, I mean, I, like, might be cheating a little because I just, like, brought it up on Hulu and it said something insane like season 159, so it has to be fucking old. So I'm going with, like, 1993.
Not quite. So 1999.
Okay.
Which was still older than I thought, because we're now that age where it's, like, when we say 10 years ago, we think of the 90s, you know, and it's so it like feels both long time ago and also not that long ago. I mean, I was like a child during this time, so that's sort of interesting.
Same. And I definitely didn't have cable at this time. I was telling you, so I've never really watched the show. Like, I think I watched two episodes today in preparation for this talk, and I think that's the most House Hunters I've ever watched.
Why have you steered clear of it?
So, again, I'm probably going to get a lot of shade for this, but I don't watch HGTV.
What's interesting...
Like, Chip and Joanna, are they on that channel? Like, never seen them.
So, I'm actually, oddly, in the same boat. So, yes, this does air on HGTV, and what's weird is I love interior design, loved Trading Spaces. In fact, I don't think you knew this about me, but, like, in middle school, I went through a whole phase where I thought I'd be an interior designer.
I could see that. I think you would be good at that. I didn't know that about you, but it checks out.
Thanks. Yeah, it was my vibe. But here's the thing that I don't like about HGTV. It's like a weird, wholesome narrative that they put into every show where, like, the wife is the creative one and the husband's, like, the burly woodworker. And it's like a weird thing that every show follows that formula, and it's just like not really like my vibe. I do like the show. I've always said it was this show specifically, House Hunters, is good, and it's one of those shows that's like really good to turn on when you're cooking or like falling asleep.
Yeah, it's like a mindless show you don't really need to focus on, and I do love one of those shows.
Yeah, sometimes you just need it, and that I do appreciate, but obviously, other people do watch it because there's been more than 1,500 episodes. And listen to this, it attracts more than 25 million viewers a month. And it's formulaic, but I think that's sort of what people like about it. It's the same thing as Chopped. Like, it's one of those formulaic, you know what's going to go
I love
down
Chopped.
shows.
You know how I feel about Chopped.
I know, that's why I thought this could be in your vibe. So now that you've watched two episodes, like, what is your initial impression?
So it's fine, but I don't think I would ever turn it on.
Really,
And
even like
I don't
not in like the
know.
Chopped way?
No, because Chopped I find much more entertaining than I found these two episodes. Again, I've watched two
Interesting.
episodes, but it just, I love real estate shows, but I love the like high-end real estate shows. Like I'm like looking, I want to see like a $10 million home. These like kind of crappy suburban homes, I don't know. And there's not really any, so far the episodes I watched, like the drama was over, can we fit a trampoline in the backyard? And that was
Yeah.
like their whole battle was like,
Well,
oh well.
I'm glad you bring this up because I had written down that I too don't love like watching a couple buy a bungalow in Mississippi. Like, I don't love it that much. But what is cool, did you watch an episode of House Hunters International?
No, I probably should have.
Okay, that's where House Hunters is at. House Hunters International is really good because it's about expats. Like, I don't care about people in New Orleans buying their first home, but I do care about an expat like buying a loft in Japan. Like, that's actually really fascinating. And I think you'd
Okay.
like that because sometimes they buy like beach houses in Mexico, or like it's like someone who just got a job in Switzerland buying a house. And that to me, like, we sort of know what homes look like in the US, but it's more fun to see like all the character of the different cities and different places in House Hunters International. I think you should give that a
All
try. You'd
right,
be
you
more
might
into
have
that.
sold me on that. I'm open to watching House Hunters International. It looks like it's on Hulu, so I will maybe that I think that would be a good mindless show for me to put on while I work. So maybe I'll
I think
try
it'd be
that
a great one.
tomorrow and
Yeah, I would
I'll
love to
report
hear your
back.
thoughts. Well, here's the one thing that's annoying that I will point out about House Hunters International. And you were spot on with the trampoline thing, and actually we'll talk about some of the drama in a sec. But the annoying part of House Hunters International, they'll like go into this place in like, let's say they're moving to France and it's like this beautiful converted chateau, and they're like mad because there's no dishwasher. Like, people just seem
Yeah,
ridiculous. Yeah.
people were getting mad at like the stuff that realtors tell you to not care about. It would be like the door color is horrible, and it's like fucking paint it. It costs
Yes.
$50. I actually have no idea how much a gallon of paint is, but my ballpark guess is $50.
Well, plus, that's so funny you bring that up because that's exactly like people's top complaint of it, is that people complain about things, or like sometimes they'll complain about the furniture it's staged with. And you're like, no, like that goes. That won't be there
Yeah.
when you move in.
Yeah, that didn't, I don't know.
But this show does feel relevant to me right now because, like, I'm sort of house hunting. You just bought a house. A lot of our friends are. So, like, my question to you is, would you go on this show to find your home? Having just gone through the process, do you think, like, you'd want to do it on national TV?
I would not mind going on this show because this show, you know me, if I'm going on reality TV, I've got to go balls to the walls becoming an influencer. Like, I'm starting a lot of drama. I've ruined my professional career. And, like, so, but this one, it feels pretty low stakes. Like, I don't think you can get fired for being like, oh, I didn't like the shag carpet or, like, oh, that. I think it feels a little bit like dipping your toe into the reality world. So I think I would be open to it.
Actually, I was going to say this one was too formulaic for you and you couldn't get too wild on it, but you're right. It might be a good one to like, for people to see you, to put it on your reality TV resume, and then another network like Bachelor or something might be more likely to pick you up.
Yeah, I could just say like I have experience. This was such a great episode of House
Yeah. In
Hunters.
fact, I was the first person in 1,500 episodes that didn't leave with a house.
Yeah,
That's
or maybe I buy
spicy.
all three and
That's a
say I can't
spicy.
choose. I'm going to live in this house for half the week, this house for half the week, and this is like my vacation home or something.
Yeah, you're going to have to create a stir either way.
Or maybe I start dating the realtor.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I don't know if they would show that on this show.
Yeah,
but...
I don't know. You'd have to like.
They'd have to like come into the house and you'd have to be like having sex with the realtor.
Yeah. Like, I'd have to like be in a robe and just drop my robe and be like. Oh boy. Okay. So yeah.
Well, what's interesting is apparently other people do want to be on the show and the chances are quite slim because 200 people apply each week to be on the show.
What do they get anything?
Like, glad
do you get
asked.
Paid or okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. They do get paid. However, the pay is $500 for the whole week that it takes to film it.
Yeah, that's not really worth it, in my opinion.
And this is not one that, like, there are spinoffs or, like, you go on to fame. So this show, in my opinion, is truly for those people who just really want a couple minutes of fame.
Yeah, or they're just, like, huge fans. So they just really want to be a part of it. But it's the thing that's weird to me. Okay, I would love to hear your thoughts about this. Because at least with Chopped or like other types of shows, you have like judges or hosts mm-hmm. or recurring characters that you kind of get attached to.
Yeah.
Whereas at least from the episodes I've watched, it seems like they pick a new realtor every time because the geography's changing constantly. And then obviously the couples or the person is changing. So I don't know. I don't know if I would like that. How do you feel? Or does that impact you at all?
No, that's a really interesting take. What's interesting is they used to have a narrator who was a recurring character. She narrated, but also she was in it. Like, you saw her face. And she was really likable. And I noticed a couple years ago that the narrator was no longer on it. Like, it was sort of a voice that gave a couple, like, just threw it back from the commercial. But you're right. Like she's no longer there. She apparently died actually. But yeah, when I looked it up today, I was like, oh, well that explains it. But that's a really good point. I've never thought about that. And it might make you and I like the show better. But I mean, I guess that proves that people are really just tuning in for the houses. Really?
Yeah, they must be. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
You did point out like the biggest complaint about the show, like that people like have a vendetta against carpet. Clearly, like they hate carpet. They always in every episode, like someone will point out the popcorn ceiling.
Yeah, the appliances seem to be a big thing too. It was like I wanted a gas stove, and it's like the stove is going to be $1,000. Like that's don't let that determine your home.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but, like, even I've been, like, dipping my toe into house buying, and it's, like, sure, maybe for major non-negotiables. Like, for me, commute is a big thing. It's not super negotiable, but, like, for certain things, like, you can't be so picky about everything, especially those small things. Like, you can rip out carpet. You can change an appliance if you really, really want
to. Yeah, that's literally what my realtor said. If anyone's looking for hot tips on home buying, he was like, the appliances are so cheap, do not let that dictate it. He was like, carpet is super easy to do. He was like, anything that's a typical kind of like low cost thing, like don't let that determine whether you buy a place or not. If you like the bones, if you like the location, you can usually kind of customize it to what you're looking for a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah, exactly. And these people like don't seem to. In fact, I was looking up some memes today because they also pointed out the fact that like in it, the couple seems so incompatible. Like the way that the show creates drama is like the husband will be like, I love open floor plans. And the wife is like, I hate open floor plans. And they just make them so incompatible. And in one, there was apparently one where they were talking about like what they wanted in the home, and they usually go for opposite things. And the one guy's only request was that his place wasn't haunted by ghosts.
Yes, that's incredible. I want to watch that episode.
But yeah, like they usually, that's how they introduce drama, is like one person must have a pool and one person like doesn't know how to swim.
Yeah. Well, so the episode that I'm currently watching, it was a single mom with four kids, and they flew in her brother, and her brother was like the other person that was opining. And he was like, you really need a pool. And she was like, I don't want a pool. And he was like, well, I really want you to have a pool. He lived in France and she was buying a house in Tampa. I was just like, I don't understand what's happening right now.
You brought up another issue that the internet has with this show, which is when it's a single person buying the house and they have their friend or sibling, someone who is not paying for the house and is not going to live there, and they're very opinionated.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of fun to, like, go in and get to, like, just
I would love it. I mean, I volunteer if you go on House Hunters. I want to be the opinionated bitch who's like, you need a pool.
And I'll be like, I literally can't even afford, like, carpet. Like, I can't have a
and
pool.
And I'll be like, you need a hot tub / pool / sauna steam room.
Oh, God, I wish. What was your non-negotiable item in buying a house?
That's a great question, because I think I kind of came at it in like the exact opposite of how you're supposed to, and I was not super prepared. But no. Okay. So my non-negotiable was location. I wanted to be in a location that was pretty walkable, pretty close to work, around some like restaurants and bars. I didn't want to live too far away from the action. And then I wanted to make sure that the rental market in the area that I was buying was competitive, and that basically I'd be able to rent it out for more than my mortgage if in a few years I decide to move. I wanted it to be an investment property. I don't want to feel the pressure to sell.
Yeah.
So I probably didn't, because I picked, like, you haven't been to my home, but it does kind of have some quirky things. It's a two-level condo, and there's no bathroom on the first floor. So you have to go up the stairs to go to the bathroom. Apparently that was a deal breaker for some people. I didn't even notice when I was touring it. That's how, like, spacey I am. I literally didn't notice. And my realtor was like, oh, note that. And I was like, oh, okay. And then my bedroom doesn't have a bathroom attached. The guest bedroom has a bathroom attached, but mine doesn't. So basically I like kind of did the opposite from most people and picked kind of a quirky unit. But I love it.
I like, when I've been touring houses, I've been liking the ones that are quirkier. But this is also interesting because, like, the Denver market is so hot right now. And, like, essentially you can't find anywhere. And people thought maybe the pandemic and the recession would change that. But, in fact, I've been reading a lot of articles that now that most people are working remotely, they can literally live anywhere and work. So it's only made the Denver market hotter, also because of people who did what you did. They felt cramped living and working all day in their tiny apartment, so they felt like they needed extra space. So it's actually like done exactly opposite what we thought it might do to the real estate market.
I know. I mean, it checks out, but it is surprising, because I would have thought that stuff would have been really cheap, but it doesn't feel like that in Chicago either. Yeah. Stuff's going super fast. One of my friends was trying to buy a place in Portland. I think she did finally get one, but they put like two or three offers on.
Yeah.
And they kept getting rejected, and they finally were able to get one, but it's crazy.
It
seems really competitive.
Especially if you had a partner who really wanted a pool.
Yeah, or room for a trampoline. Like, that's a...
Were you surprised about their budgets in the show?
So that's what I, in doing like my research on the show, I heard that a lot of times they have hilarious careers that aren't even real, and then their budget will be like $1 million, and they'll be like a antique doll restoration
part-time,
like, part-time. Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah,
but, like,
and the other one's like a
niche career.
Yeah, the other
and
one like
they
is
have
a freelance hamster trainer. Yeah, And their budget is $3 million. The internet is on fire with memes about that. Like, everyone has made one, apparently. It's so funny. Everyone should just Google that, even if you haven't seen the show. Like, it's like really obscure jobs that don't even exist, and then they'll be like, and our budget is $7 million.
No, so that I didn't make that on my own, but I would watch it for if there were some like humorous job titles. That I think that would spark some joy. So here's a question I had for you, because what kept coming up when I was researching is that people, or like, there's been controversy because the people have like picked the house already, or they've already bought it, or like they've already been living in it, and then they kind of like backfilm.
Yep.
Is that true? Did that bother you when you found that out?
Well, okay, so it is true. Both, I've done a lot of research. I also knew someone who went on the show, and so they explained, like, yeah, they'd been living in their home for like 6 months by the time they did this. So I knew that that was true. I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, you know, to me, okay, the acting was so bad anyway. Like, the people in it are so clearly acting at different points that it, like, something about it seemed like it wasn't exactly real to me.
Yeah.
Like, at the end, for example, when it takes them 3 seconds to decide on which of the three houses, like, there's no way. Yeah,
they're just like, oh, it's the Tudor. It's the Tudor.
Or one will be like, I didn't like the pool. And the other one's like, oh, but I really did. But I guess you're right. That makes number one out. And it's like, no, that would not be the conversation about, like, whether to move in and spend $500,000 on this home.
Yeah, no, that's
but
true.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me, actually. In fact, I heard that in my research, sometimes they do actually go tour some of the houses they did view, apparently, and didn't choose. So they sort of, it's sort of half fake, because they do sort of give the feedback that was their deal breaker feedback. So sometimes it's not actually that fake, but sometimes I read about it, one story where apparently they couldn't find any houses for the woman to tour, so they put it on her. So she ended up having to ask her friends to pretend that their houses were set for sale.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and she went and toured her friends' houses and pretended to, like, criticize them and not choose them.
That would be so awkward. I would not like doing that.
Is it a deal breaker for you? Are you upset that the reality show isn't that real?
No, because I think every reality show is fake. I mean, they even did that in Selling Sunset. So apparently one of the houses that they said was for sale really wasn't for sale. And then they also, that one, remember the guy who she, like, supposedly went to high school with? That was, like, supposed to be some tech mogul. Yep. That was her client.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's just, like, a random manager at Facebook. Like, He is not, like, he's not a millionaire. He would have never been able to afford the houses.
He's not buying them.
Yeah, he's not buying that home. So, I mean, it's just, again, we're reality TV OG vets. Like, we know the drill. So for me, that doesn't.
Yeah,
really,
we know what the wool that they're trying to pull over.
As long as I'm entertained, I don't really care.
Yeah, I think that's true. I do think, though, like, this reality show maybe gives us as unrealistic as a viewpoint of dating and marriage as, like, Bachelor does, frankly. Because on the one hand, it makes it seem like every couple is, like, polar opposites, but a house can bring them together. And then also it makes it seem like couples, like, even if you're a polar opposite, it takes you 2 seconds to negotiate and get to on the same page. Like, for me,
I have no idea how these people are buying homes together.
You know, I've always thought about that, like, the fact that two people can agree on a house, and more so, I've always thought the fact that two people can agree on a name for their child is, like, remarkable.
I mean, I think it's fake. Like, someone is just giving in.
On the house or the kid?
I think both. I just find it so hard to believe. Like, I don't know. I found it hard enough to, like, convince myself to buy a home. let alone for me to finally get myself there. And then I gotta get my gotta get Brad on board.
Yeah, I've had. I'm liking this Brad character that we've introduced into your life.
Yeah, this is mythical Brad, by the way. There's no real Brad.
Interestingly, his job is an antique doll restoration manager.
Yes, I saw that job on Hinge, and I was like, Brad, you
that's
are
where
my
the
future,
money's at.
Sir. That is where the money is. A grown man restoring dolls has got to be at least a yellow flag.
Oh, God, it's very creepy. I think that reminds me of Sex in the City. Honestly, all roads lead back to Sex in the City. Like, I'm pretty sure every episode has had a Sex in the City mention. But it reminds me, do you remember that episode where Stanford ends up going home with a guy and his whole room is filled with, like, very creepy Victorian dolls?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And he, like, introduces them by name and stuff. So, interestingly, that's who you're dating.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
Brad.
I'm excited about our potential. That's Brad.
So. He's so quirky.
Yeah, he is. I think we'd do great. He wants a pool, but I don't.
But he loves your quirky house.
He does.
So it's great.
He put all his dolls in the guest bedroom.
And it's close to the bathroom, so that's great.
Yeah, exactly. The dolls have their own bathroom. We have to walk across the hall, but the dolls, they have their own bathroom.
Yeah.
That's good for them.
That checks out. Yeah, I think that it's very interesting that people can, like, do that together. I've had some contentious debates with people I've dated about, like, where to eat, let alone a house.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Maybe that's, like, when you know, but I don't think I've known.
Yeah, I mean, that remains to be seen. That's a big, big thing.
It's a question mark. Yeah, yeah, and with the kid, if it's coming out of me, absolutely not. Don't care about your say for the name. Sorry, you've contributed sperm thus far.
Interesting.
You've no skin in the game.
Well, he has a little skin in the game, but...
At one time.
Oh, his skin was in your game.
This is really spiraled.
Okay, we've gone on a tangent, sorry everybody.
We said we're gonna work to get back on track.
And we've done it. That only took 12 minutes.
Yeah, so.
Well, anyways, I mean, really, as this is a mini, and the episodes themselves are, you know, 20 minutes when you.
Yeah, 20 minutes. Yeah. I did like that. I like the short
episode. They resolve themselves quickly. And so I guess, I mean, my opinion is that it's, as I've said, a great mindless turn it on while you do something else and shout your opinions at the TV. And highly recommend. My favorite, like I said, is House Hunters International, because that one is, like, very interesting. And there they actually do have to choose, in quotes, like, they're obviously not really choosing, but, like, between, like, a garden level in Munich and, like, a longer commute out of the city, but then they have a pool.
Okay, I might check out International. You've sold me on trying out that show.
That's so. Highly recommend that one. Otherwise, and you could go on that one. Honestly, I feel like House Hunters America is a little too traditional, but House Hunters International could be a little spicier. That's where you could take your robe off.
That, okay. Well, you know me. I'm always looking for an opportunity to take my robe off on television. So.
Well, with that, that is our mini episode.
Please review us on iTunes if you haven't.
Know. Maybe don't review us after this episode that we talked about robes and dolls, but review us in general.
But review us in, review the podcast as a whole.
Yeah.
Rate us, follow us on Instagram.
Subscribe. It really, like, it's annoying to listen to podcasts where they beg you to do that, but it does actually help us. So please do.
It helps us. We've made over $7.50. So
yeah.
Just know that you're helping us achieve our dreams.
You're doing a lot. I mean, under Biden's new tax plan, you know, we'll get taxed on that. But
yeah, we're fucked. We should have thought about that before we voted for him. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, with that, we will see you next week. What show are we doing next week?
That's a great question. one that I will answer.
We are doing, next week's
Friends.
Yes.
Oh, the Thanksgiving episode. This is going to be our Friends Thanksgiving special.
Yes. So we'll all be celebrating Thanksgiving, and then you'll hear us talk about all the Friends Thanksgiving episodes. So
it's going to be a good one.
It'll be fun. It'll be really fun. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.